This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, local emergency teams and agriculture programs recently received a generous donation from the Dakota Access Pipeline. The pipeline's vice president of engineering, Chuck Fry, said the money was a way for them to support local communities. Chuck and I also discussed the process of gaining permission from landowners before working on the pipeline and what work is currently being done in this area.
Dakota Access wanted to donate this money because we are going to be a member of the community for a long time. We want to participate in community activities. When we were looking at where would be a good donation point, we thought of the local emergency responders because they touch everybody in the county with the services they provide, and so we felt that was a good way to provide a broad means of support to the counties that our pipeline crosses through.
And quite a bit of money that you're donating to several counties. Talk to us about that.
Yes, actually the pipeline crosses 50 counties in the four states that it crosses: North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Illinois. And we're doing $20,000 to each of those 50 counties, so $1 million total being donated to the local emergency response groups. 12 of those counties are in Illinois, so a total of $240,000 of that is going to groups in Illinois.
And not to mention, so not only these emergency response teams are receiving funding, you're also supporting Illinois 4-H and FFA with a nice donation as well.
Yes, we also wanted to look to something that could support youth activities. And 4-H and FFA both do that in a wonderful way. They're preparing leaders for the future. And so we may have made donations to the state foundations in the amount of $5,000 for each of the counties that we cross again. So in Illinois, for those 12 counties, it came to a $60,000 donation to the Illinois FFA and $60,000 to the Illinois 4-H.
Well, so thankful for those donations. As a previous FFA member myself, I know those funds will go to good use, and very proud of that organization and the youth involved. So when I think about the pipeline, how we see it in this area, and I'll just speak to Montgomery County, we see it going through the middle of farmers' fields. You probably had to talk to some of those farmers, get an agreement. Could you tell our listeners what the process is like before you actually start putting a pipeline in someone's property?
The first process would, we have to route the pipeline. There's a lot of activity that goes into routing a pipeline, looking at different parts of the geography, topography, and finding a route that minimizes conflict with other infrastructure. The first thing we do is get a survey. So we'll get survey permission from a landowner. We'll survey the route. Then our right-of-way agents will contact the landowner, and we look to negotiate an easement where we pay for the landowner for the right to install the pipeline, and we pay them for the rights to the land, and then we also compensate them for any damages like lost crops while we're doing the construction activity. The construction activity occurs. We clean up the property. We return it to its original slopes and contours, and it's monitored for as long as it's there. If there's any degradation in crop yields or any other damages, those will be repaired, or the landowner is compensated for that.
Sounds like a pretty easy process the way you explained it. Any update that you can give us on the progress of the pipeline? You drive through Montgomery County, you see signs, pipeline crossing, there's work being done. What's the status of the work being done?
The pipeline itself, construction of the pipeline itself is complete. The pipeline was placed in full service on June the 1st of this year. So any activity you see would be cleanup of construction areas, maybe adding markers at road crossings or fixing any damage to road at a road crossing. If there's been any settlement along the pipeline system from rain, then it would be responding to fix those settlement areas.
Any final thoughts that you may have, Chuck, that you'd like to share with our listeners, give them an update about anything I haven't asked?
We're just very happy to be part of the community here. The people in Illinois have been great to work with. We want to, again, be part of the community for a long time. We think this pipeline is going to be a big benefit to the energy security of the United States, and we're happy it's in service, and we look forward to a working relationship with everyone in Illinois going forward.
Chuck Fry, Vice President of Engineering for Dakota Access Pipeline, and the 12 counties that receive funding are Hancock, Adams, Schuyler, Brown, Pike, Morgan, Scott, Macoupin, Montgomery, Bond, Fayette, and Marion counties. And we'll have more ag news in just a moment. The remaining 11 Trans-Pacific Partnership countries plan to remove the gross domestic product requirements to allow the deal to move forward without the United States this week. Japan News reports that with the United States abandoning the accord, negotiators appear hopeful that changing the conditions will allow the remaining 11 nations to quickly implement a new pact. A final decision is expected to be made at a meeting of ministers scheduled for Wednesday and Thursday in Vietnam. The trade agreement signed last year by the 11 member nations and the United States would be implemented after it's ratified by six nations that comprise at least 85% of the total gross domestic product of the signatory countries. However, because the gross domestic product of the United States made up more than 60% of the 12-nation total, there are no prospects for the pact to be implemented in its current form. Negotiators hope to announce a broad agreement on Saturday. In an agreement signed last week, John Deere is expected to be the first direct sale of U.S. machinery to Cuba in more than half a century. An agreement signed at the Havana Fair between John Deere executives and Cuba calls for the shipment of several hundred tractors and associated implements over a four-year period. Farm Equipment Magazine reports the vast majority of the tractors to be sold will be the company's baseline 5000 series between 75 and 115 horsepower. In signing the agreement, Deere Company officials said the sale of farm tractors and implements to Cuba will improve food security for the Cuban people. The announcement comes a day after a Caterpillar dealer announced it will open a distribution center in Cuba. Both companies seem to be racing to establish a foothold in Cuba before the Trump administration follows through with prohibiting sales to the country. The first shipment of Deere tractors is scheduled to arrive in Cuba in mid-November. And that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.